All right, 1 John chapter 4. Let's go back there again. And the song was appropriate for the message here tonight, I do believe. Let's look at this just a little bit more. We talked last week about believe not every spirit. Let's look at this week about how to identify the spirit. There's more there, and we need to take a look at it. 1 John chapter 4. Let's read verses 2 through 4. All right, it says, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Okay, I just want to make sure that thing's on. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you again for the time together and for the Word of God. Please bless it to our hearts. Help us to pay attention, each one of us, to the Spirit of God and what He says to us through the Word of God here. And help us with this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now to believe that God was made flesh and dwelt among men is necessary for salvation. That's what it says right here. "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God." And then it gives the difference. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. So it's a fundamental thing. Now, I've heard of fundamentalists all through the years, and they didn't call this one of the fundamentals, but it is one of the fundamentals.
Yes, sir.
The scripture here makes it very clear that we cannot be saved if we do not believe and embrace the fact that Jesus was God in a body of flesh just like ours. Mm-hmm. There's where you lose them right there. Just like ours.
Yes, sir.
But it says the same flesh,
yes,
same blood.
Yes, sir.
He was. It behooved him in all points just to be just like us.
Yes.
Had to be for salvation to be possible. It's a fundamental of the thing. Refusing to believe this fundamental fact of God's plan of redemption is identified as being the spirit of Antichrist. That means you're against him. It's the spirit that is against Christ, that denies anything about his humanity. When you make him God but not man, then you are Antichrist. You are under the influence of the spirit of Antichrist.
Yes.
And you are Antichrist.
Yeah, right.
We think Antichrist is the beast. Well, the Bible never calls him that. He's Antichrist, all right, but Bible don't call him that.
That's right.
It's a spirit. It's always referred to as a spirit. That's right. Now, to deny this basic fact of the gospel is to deny everything that Jesus came to do.
Right.
He had to be a man. He is called the Son of Man as well as the Son of God. Pharisees destroyed him because he called himself the Son of God. Because that's the way men think. He can't be both, but he was. Y'all understand that? He was the Son of God. He was God in flesh, in a body of flesh. That's the miracle. That's the thing that God had promised from the beginning. He's the seed, the promised seed. He's going to give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear Son. And that's exactly what happened. To deny this basic truth is to believe another gospel and another Jesus. And that's idolatry. And it is sure damnation to your soul. All right, now you got the importance of this. How to identify the Spirit. Well, he said, try the spirit. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirit to see if they be of God. That's what we read last week. And then right here, this is how you know the difference. Hereby know ye the spirit of God and the spirit of Antichrist. This is how you know the difference. One's capitalized there and the other's not. That spirit of Antichrist is not capitalized. But that's not how you know the difference. How you know the difference? By what they say about Jesus.
Yes, sir.
There were some that denied that Jesus had actually come in the flesh. Now, I think I might have mentioned this last week, but the Gnostics believed that Jesus was God and that he simply appeared to be flesh. But the whole thing was just like an illusion presented to the world by God. He wasn't really flesh. He was like a ghost. He was like an apparition or something. That's what they believed. Because they could not believe that God could be flesh. Because all flesh is sinful. And God can't be sinful. They held this belief because they believed that all flesh was inherently sinful. That's the Gnostics. Therefore, God could not have literally became flesh, they said. Wouldn't work. All flesh is sinful. It's inherently sinful. Sinful flesh begets sinful flesh. You're a sinner because of your body. That's what the Gnostics believe, and that's what the modern day Baptists and everybody else believes.
Yes.
But since Jesus... let's stop right there a minute. Is that denying that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh? Yes, it is.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He wasn't really in the flesh. He was just an apparition, an illusion. Kind of like a ghost.
Yeah.
That is denying that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh.
Yes, sir.
They said he was God. Well, believing in the deity of Christ, that's not going to save you.
Right. That's right.
You can believe he was God all you want to, but you deny that he was a man, and you've missed it.
Right.
You've not understood. You've been lied to and deceived by spirit of Antichrist. But since Jesus did come, and he had left such a mark on humanity, they had to come up with a way to keep from denying his deity. They were on a spot where they had to say that Jesus was just a man and not God. But they could not make him God and man at the same time. So it had to be an illusion. This was their thinking, see, the Gnostics. Now most people, they don't go for that far in denying that Jesus is come in the flesh. Just listen to me. The devil and all his human helpers have invented a number of ways to deny this basic truth while appearing to believe the gospel. While appearing to hold to the gospel and we preach the truth, they've invented a lot of different ways to deny that Jesus came in the flesh. All right? They acknowledge that he was God in the flesh. But they suppose that he wielded divine power to keep from falling into the same traps that other men fall into. You understand what I'm saying? It's hard to think that somebody is lost and don't understand the gospel or that they are anti-Christ when they vehemently defend the deity of Christ. When they stand up for saying that Jesus is God. Well now, that's not what it says here. The Holy Spirit will say that Jesus is coming. God is come in the flesh. They don't want to say that. They want to say Jesus was God. But they don't believe he was really a man. They believe he was God among us. But he was different. He had a different body. Well, we get into this here. If it's true, then he had no... If he did it with divine power, if he resisted sin with some power that's not available for us,
right,
then what in the world
yeah.
is he doing commanding us to follow in his footsteps and to do as he done? And what was he talking about when he said the works that I do, ye shall do also. And greater works than I do shall ye do, because I go to my Father. What's he talking about?
If this is true, that he did it differently than we have to, then he's not really an example for us, because we can't wield divine power to deliver ourselves from temptation.
We have to lean on the Word of God and on the Spirit of God to help us and guide us into all truth and to correct us and to reprove us and all of that. We have to depend upon the grace of God. Jesus did too. He subjected himself to all that. He was subject. He became that way for our redemption. Had to be. That's why God was made flesh and dwelt among us. How can you deny that? You got to be anti-Christ to deny that.
That's right.
It's so deceitful, and that's why God says here to not believe every spirit, because boy, they can exalt Christ and be lying. And you'll exalt him right along with them. With Antichrist? Yep. Exactly what happens.
Yeah. They do.
You can't worship with people who don't believe that Jesus was really a man like us.
Right.
There'll always come a time when there's a conflict and a collision, because there's two different spirits at work. There's the Spirit of God and there's the Spirit of Antichrist. It was already at work back then. There were already people saying the same things that we see people saying right now. They assume that he was physically divine. Now, I'm talking about most people don't go so far as the Gnostics in denying that Jesus was come in the flesh. They believe he really did come. Celebrate Christmas and everything. Yes, sir. But they don't believe that he was like us. He was different than us. Well, he was the Son of God, but he didn't come here and have a pass on everything else. He was tempted in all points like as we are. Now, how could that possibly be if he was something different?
Right.
Can you? Now, see, people here then, they say, you are a heretic because you're saying that Jesus was not any different than us. Well, yeah, he was God. That's a little bit different than us. But he didn't use that to overcome sin and temptation.
No,
sir.
No.
People can't get a hold of that. I'll tell you what. So, they assume he was physically divine. They claim that his blood was physically different than ours. Mm-hmm. Did you ever hear any preacher say it was God's blood?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've heard it. I've heard some of the most outlandish, outrageous, heretical things. It's heresy.
Yes, sir.
His blood was just like our blood.
They say
that he was born without a sinful nature while claiming that we are.
Yeah.
And they claim that his blood was different. They claim his blood was sinless while ours was sinful.
Yeah.
Well, now I got a little news flash for you. Blood does not commit sin, and blood does not contain sin.
Amen. That's right.
Blood is blood.
Yes, sir.
And the blood that was shed for us didn't contain sin, but your blood does not contain sin either. What a twisted, warped way to look and to understand the gospel. Don't you pity this world full of people, churches full of people that are being taught that kind of nonsense? They begin to think of the blood of Christ and all aspects of the atonement as something mystical and magical. The blood becomes like a chant. Like a pagan's chant in the minds of the people who talk about it and refer to it. They don't even know. I know. They don't even know what they're saying when they talk about it's under the blood and the blood this and the blood that, and make it a religious, cheerleaders chant or something.
Right.
And I'm not diminishing the blood of Christ.
No, not at all.
Right.
What can wash away my sin?
Nothing.
Nothing but the blood of Christ. Amen. The blood of Christ is what he bought the church with, his precious blood.
Yes, sir. Yep. Amen.
But it's not sinful. People who begin to think and reason down that line are back to the philosophy of the Gnostics. Flesh and blood. They're thinking in carnal, fleshly, physical things. They're connecting, they're imputing sin to things that are really inanimate, you know. The Gnostics did. They believed that, like, that chair was evil. It contained evil. Every physical thing contained evil. That's where it was. That's where it come from. It's in everything. So God couldn't come to this world and really be a part of it because it's all evil. It's just permeated with evil. Like the coronavirus or something. It's everywhere. It's in everything. And we've all got it. And we all, you know, that's... People who do that, their flesh and blood's not the source of sin. You know, and this is nothing new for y'all, but some people are going to hear it and say, what in the world's he talking about? Flesh, you know, flesh and blood are not where sin comes from, or any other physical thing. Matthew chapter 15, verse 18 through 20. Jesus said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth, come from the heart, come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. So where does it come from? Looks like if Jesus had a chance, sir, to tell you that it's in your blood, that you got dirty blood, got sinful blood, and that's why you're sinners. Or if it was in your flesh, you know, your body. Looks like he'd have told us, sir. But he made it real plain. Then in Hebrews chapter 2, in verse 14 and 15, these are very important verses that you really need to mark down, and you need to memorize them, and you need to have them at hand, because they spell it out so plain in this matter that we're talking about. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise. How many times does he has to stress he also himself likewise? Leaves no room for any wiggling there. He also himself likewise took part of the same. Same what? For as much as then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also took part of the same. The same. Same flesh, same blood. How can you understand it any other way? That through death, so he became flesh, so he could die. He was made flesh so, in order that he could die. Mm-hmm. If he was God, how could he have died?
Right.
If he wasn't flesh. See?
Yep.
You understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
How could he have died if he was God? God can't die.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a part of God's existence at all. Death has to do with flesh and blood.
Yes.
And this world. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, and that is the devil. Jesus didn't destroy death by living a perfect life. Y'all understand that?
Right.
Yeah.
He destroyed death by dying and rising again.
Yes.
Wow.
That he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. So he became flesh, he was made flesh, that he might destroy death and destroy the devil. There you have it right there. When he come to the world for it, to destroy death and destroy the devil.
Yes,
and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Ain't that wonderful verse? Man, that just makes it all so clear and true. And the spirit of Antichrist denies that. They deny that. They add something and change it like the blood. And twist it around. So that somehow Jesus is not what that just said he was. That's the spirit of Antichrist. I don't care if it's an independent Baptist preacher that you love and respect and has got all kind a lifetime of thousands of people getting saved and all that. It's the spirit of Antichrist.
That's right.
The spirit of God will tell you just exactly what that said. Jesus overcame it all. He came here to destroy death and to destroy the devil and to deliver us from bondage.
Yes, amen.
By dying.
Yes, bless.
And he couldn't die unless he became a man.
Right.
Therefore, anything that takes away from the humanity of Christ is every much as serious an error as that which would take away from his deity. It turns the plan of redemption upside down and strips the gospel of its power when you take away the humanity of Christ.
Yes.
Was he God? I've heard it said like this, and I believe it's about the best way to say it. Was he God? Yeah, he was 100% God. Was he a man? Yes, he was 100% a man. He wasn't 50% a man and 50% God. He was both. He was the perfect man. And he was God, the perfect God.
Yes, sir.
Say, I don't understand that. Well, there's a lot of things we don't understand about God. If we understood all about God, he wouldn't be God.
That's right.
Wouldn't be anything to wonder about. If Jesus' flesh and blood was somehow divine, then he could not have died. And the very fact that he died shows beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was flesh.
Yes.
He couldn't have died. They nailed him to that cross. I mean, all of his life that he lived here, death had never survived in his presence. Every funeral, every dead person that he encountered, right, didn't stay dead.
Nope.
But he died. They nailed him to a cross, beat him, and put a crown of thorns on him, and mistreated him, and he died.
Yes,
he gave up the ghost.
He did.
Right after he said, "It is finished."
Yes, sir.
It shocked everybody. You know, the disciples were devastated because they weren't expecting this. What manner of man is this? They called him Lord. Who do men say that I am? And then he said, "Peter, who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." See, he had it right. But Peter didn't understand the humanity part either very well at that point.
No,
he's dead, and dead's final here on this earth. But it wasn't final that time. Because this is not just a man. Jesus was a man, but he wasn't just a man.
Right.
He was God.
Yes, sir.
And you know, if Jesus overcame sin with things that aren't available to me, then it's just not just of God. It's not fair for him to command me to overcome and only have the promises if I overcome. Also, the promises of the gospel message are empty and meaningless if Jesus overcame as God and not man. He's the second Adam that didn't sin, that was tempted in all points, like as we are, in a world that had been there 4,000 years since Adam was there. Very corrupt, degenerated humanity. But he didn't sin. He overcame it all. Also, if Jesus was not just like us, then all that he did was just a show and a spectacle. And he is not our captain. He's not our elder brother. He's not our forerunner, like the Bible says. That's why the strongest language is used here in the scripture we just read, by calling this the very evidence of the spirit of Antichrist, to deny the humanity of Christ. Jesus is not come in the flesh. He's not just like us. Any attack, any compromise, any kind of insult or variation from the fact, what we read in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 and 15 there, any kind of variation, it's the spirit of Antichrist. Any kind of doubt that's cast upon that, anything that raises a question about that, it's not the spirit of God causing you to think that. It's the spirit of Antichrist. It's that spirit of the devil that's against Christ.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Boy, the devil don't want people to believe that God was made a man and lived here on this earth. He don't want people to believe that. This is one of the things that he'll fight against the most, because this is what made it all possible, that God came down and was made flesh and dwelt among sinful men. Those who don't understand or believe that Jesus overcame temptation and sin simply by relying on the Word of God and the Spirit of God, they just don't understand or believe the gospel. That God was made flesh and dwelt among us is the basic core of the gospel. And it's the heart of the atonement. It really is.
Yes.
I mean, it is a fundamental, basic truth that you must believe.
Yes.
And you must firmly believe it. And you can't be shaky. I mean, you got to believe it. It's evidence that the Spirit of God is in you if you believe this. And it's evidence that the Spirit of God is not in you if you don't believe this, or you doubt this some way.
Yes, sir.
Or you compromise it in any way. Somehow people find it easier to deal with a God that's separate from man. It's easier to imagine and make believe and deceive yourself when your God is imaginary and mystical. If God is in another realm and separated from men, then men can more easily excuse themselves for not being like Him. We were talking the other day about things and how that, you know, I don't remember what brought it up, but we were talking about sentimental feelings about things that people have, you know. Who was I talking to? Said he was sentimental. It was Kevin.
That's
who.
Yeah, that's right.
Me and him were talking about that, and so we were talking about it at home, and how that a lot of people cling to things that, you know, my grandpa or my mother or somebody had. I mean, their hands touched it, she said. Talked about the fact of going over to Israel and being able to, you know, that would be the thing about it, is that He walked here, you know. And it's not, I don't have to have that, but if I was there, that would be something.
Yes, sir.
Because He really did.
Yes, sir.
He wasn't a ghost, and it wasn't a phony story that's
right.
just been carried
that's
through
right.
the centuries.
Right.
God
yeah.
lived among men.
Yes.
He really did. You've all seen the thing, you know, said the atheist said, if your God's real, why don't He just come down here and tell us? Somebody said, He did, and they crucified Him.
Yep.
I have a hard time understanding how there could be anybody in the world that won't believe. I mean, Jesus made such a mark on humanity that it's just undeniable that there was something different about Him.
Mm-hmm.
No other man has ever... I mean, there's been some mighty men and some mighty kings, and people have done fantastic things and accomplished impossible things. But there is not one person that even comes close to comparing with the influence that Jesus had on this, on humanity. And we're 2,000 years down the road, and it's still, we mark time by his birth. How could you not? How could you, no matter how educated you are, it looks like the more educated you are, the more you would realize there's got to be something to this.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of educated men through the years that set out to prove that all this about Jesus was a lie, that he didn't raise from the dead. And you know what happened to a lot of them? When they really, sincerely investigated it thoroughly, they were converted.
Yeah.
Several of them were. Set out with this anti-Christ spirit that sent them to prove that he didn't come, that he wasn't any different. And they still want to make him a homosexual. They want to say he had a wife and kids and all of this, make him something different than what he was. Well, God is in another realm, but he was here. And he sent his Holy Spirit to indwell us now.
Yeah.
Right. And God removed that stumbling block by coming down from heaven and being made flesh. Now we have seen God, and he has experienced our world and overcame it. He left a record that we have today right here. He showed us how to live and how to die. And how to be resurrected from the dead. How to overcome death. We sit here tonight, and we all profess, some of us really do possess, this hope that's steadfast and sure.
Yes, sir.
And death does not frighten us. It's something that we look forward to. We know what's beyond it. And we know that death doesn't mean death for us anymore,
right. No.
Because of him. He overcame death for every man. I mean, I've said this before, and I don't know how well it soaks in with everybody, but because Jesus rose from the dead, every person who ever breathed a breath on this earth is going to rise from the dead.
Yes,
not just the saved
That's
people.
Right. Right. Yes, sir.
Every atheist, every God-hating pagan that ever lived is going to... They're going to live. They're going to live again.
Yeah.
They're going to come out of their graves because Jesus conquered death. Mm-hmm. He abolished death.
Yes, sir. He sure did. Amen.
Because he came and became a man. He lived in a body of flesh that thirsted and hungered and felt pain and wept. And died.
Yeah.
So he showed us how. He sent us the Comforter to guide us into all truth and to teach us and lead us through this world. I don't know how you could have a better deal than that. He said it's expedient for you that I go away. It'll be better for you when I die and I go back to the Father. Because the Spirit's going to come. The Comforter's going to come. And remember we talked about it here a few weeks ago. We've been reading in Acts. We threw it now, but that was one of the first part of it is how you'll be endued with power from on high. And they had no idea what he was talking about, really, until it happened.
That's right.
We can overcome by the same power that Jesus used as a man. The Word of God, this right here. Jesus, when he was tempted, quoted out of this book right here. Same one that you got in your hand. Deuteronomy. He quoted out of Deuteronomy every time. When the devil tempted him. And the devil left him.
Yes, sir.
Reckon that'd work for us?
Yes, it does.
I think so. Resist the devil.
And he will flee.
He'll flee. How do you resist him? With your willpower? I won't. Just say no to the devil. No. You just quote the Word of God to the devil. And believe the Word of God. We can overcome by the same power he used. The Word of God and the Spirit of God.
Amen. Jesus, come in the flesh. That's what he meant. That's what his name meant. Emmanuel, it meant God with us. No wonder there was such a big deal the night he was born. No wonder it stirred up all the ruckus while he walked over there. And no wonder it turned the world upside down after he died and rose from the dead and then empowered his people.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. That's how you tell the spirits.
Yes,
sir. That's how you know. The ones, the spirit of truth will tell you Jesus was a man. Just like you. That gives you hope.
Yes, it does.
Gives you hope. It don't leave you in this miserable state of I just want to do right, but I can't. And every time I try, I just end up doing bad. And oh, woe is me. I'm just a sinner. Oh. Saved by grace.
Yeah.
That's a contradictory statement.
Yes, sir.
We're in Romans now. Read Romans 6 this morning. I just cannot understand for my life how people can say the things they say and believe what they believe and read the Word of God. Romans chapter 6 just stomps the living daylights out of everything they say about being defeated and sinners and wicked. I'm wicked. And, you know, if you say you ain't, you're a liar. You know, that junk. Man, just read Romans chapter 6. We, 6? Yes, it is. Old Paul just nailed it to the wall. And it's going to be, so many's going to be without excuse for teaching all this nonsense. And you know where they have to start? They have to start by denying the humanity of Christ. That's where the root of all that is.
Yeah.
All right, Father, thank you for the Word of God, for the truth, and pray you bless it to our hearts here. Thank you, Lord, for giving light to us in this matter and for allowing us to really understand that salvation is wonderful and that it is really real. And there is hope for us, even in this wicked world we live in. We can be as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, because you live in us. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.